title head of this chapter in my Bible is Jeremiah's Message to Sinful Israel. I believe one of the things greatly lacking in the ministry of preachers today is a burden for the nation. It seems like there's a great cloud of ignorance that's come over Christianity today, as if everything is okay, as if there's no imminent danger. And it seems like of all people, Christian people ought to understand and have some discernment about the times that are at hand. The way that manifests to me is whenever I see fighting and fussing among Christian people. It really translates to me that Christian people really don't realize that there is a real enemy. You're not my enemy. And I'm not, well, sometime I'm your enemy. I may be your enemy tonight, but for a good reason. But I want you to know you're not my enemy. And the churches, the true Bible preaching churches are not my enemy, though I'm not friend or in favor of those that preach a false gospel. I couldn't be. But today it's amazing to me just how ignorant and undiscerning Christians are of the times which we live. And if there ever was a time when there needs to be a burden among God's people, it's today. And I want to preach a very simple sermon. I'll probably preach fast, more exhorting than trying to teach tonight. Noah and it's Andrea, right? Is it Andrea? Is that right? Noah, what's your sister's name again?
Morgan.
Noah and Morgan. Noah and Morgan, I want you to sit right back there. That's Miss Marjorie. Sit right here in the orange. In the orange. That's my brother and my sister-in-law. I want you to sit right there by them. We're glad you all come tonight. And they've been coming to Bible school, and their mommy wanted them to come tonight. Can you imagine that? Amen. And so we had to get that lined out and get them over here. But you guys sit right up, listen real good. Noah, Morgan, I want you to listen. And or else that big guy beside you will get you. All right. But I'm not going to preach long to you tonight, but I want you to listen. Try to understand. If I preach tonight and you've got a question about what I preach, you feel free to call me up. We'll talk about it. Just wait till tomorrow afternoon. I want to sleep tonight. Amen. But Jeremiah chapter number 2, I'm teasing with you. You will talk all night if you want to. Verse 1 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me." Well, that's a great lacking, integral part of our ministries today is the word of the Lord. "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown." What a biographical verse when it comes to America. Did you see that? Did you miss it? Did you see what it said? It says, "I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown." I understand that there's some distorted history in America, but I believe by and large God birthed this nation because there were people that came to America seeking God. I know that there was some ill-intentioned people that came in and took advantage of things, but I believe that the reason the providence of God preserved and birthed this nation was because there were people came here seeking God. There's no other excuse for America, for this nation, except that God birthed this nation as a place for the gospel to be preached. Verse 3, he's speaking about the nation of Israel. And by the way, let me just say while you're standing, if you don't mind, let me just say this, that America was founded, was discovered, of course, in our history by Christopher Columbus. Is that right? And Christopher Columbus was looking for some other land. Anybody know what it was he was looking for? What was he? Where was he trying? The West Indies? Is that what he was looking for? And he was going there. He had convinced the king and queen to let him go and to fund the trip because he wanted to find this land so that he could find more gold to fund a second crusade from his country that would go and free Israel from Islam. And on the way, he discovered America, which nation has been the greatest friend that Israel has ever known. The providence of God. Amen. You take the word Jerusalem and the three middle letters of the word Jerusalem, and I don't put much stock on this, but if you'll check it out, it's USA. I know it's just all coincidence, but it's kind of neat anyway. Amen. Maybe it's not coincidence. America has always been a friend of Israel, and I believe God has blessed America for that. The world over knows that we're a friend of Israel. Verse 3 says, Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. And all that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 7, it says, and I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Lord God, you'd help us tonight, dear Lord God, just as we preach a very simple message, and dear Lord God, a very straightforward message, which also, Lord God, is a burden of our heart, dear Lord God, and we don't preach this every week, but we're here tonight to preach it, dear Lord God, and we preach it with your help and your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can have a seat. I want to give you a title for the message tonight. It's very simply this: three activities that could avert the adversary's plan for America. Three activities that could avert the adversary's plan for America. No doubt in my mind, America is on a downward spiral. No doubt in my mind that America is headed the wrong direction tonight. Yet there's no doubt in my mind whenever I look around and I see the things that are going on in our country. I see that our nation has, for the last 30 years, we have murdered by way of a procedure called abortion, which is murder. We have murdered over 50 million babies in America. And under the stamp of the United States Supreme Court, and we have murdered over 50 million babies. That is more murder than took place in Russia. Girls, put those books away for me just for a minute. That's cold-blooded murder. Right now, our country is preparing, debating the possibility, potential of going to war and bombing Syria for nerve gas that was released there, possibly, and under that assumption. Nearly 1,000 people died there because of that. But we murder almost a million babies a month in America. And the same government, the same leaders that say we need to do something about Assad in Syria are the same ones that promote late-term abortion, where they actually suck the brains out of the baby while it's in the mother's womb, partial birth abortion. And it's been endorsed by the administration at hand right now. And that's a wicked, ungodly sin. It's amazing to me when I think about it, stand up here and think about it, think that God has still had mercy on America and all of that. Yet, he could easily have just closed the book and said, that's the end. It's over. That's the end of America. But for some reason, here we are tonight in an independent, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church with a pretty good crowd. We're here tonight singing. We have the freedom that we have, and there's no other reason for that except from the manifold mercy of God. There's no other reason for that and the providence of God. There's nothing in this world that would hinder God from just closing the book, except he's a merciful God, and he wants to see some young people saved. And I believe that's There's some people still yet to be saved, and God, His timing is perfect. Amen? I think about our nation and how the devil has wrought his plan in America and how he's destroyed the morals of America. I mean, there's no decency in our country anymore. There's no moral integrity in our country. It used to be that that there was some. It used to be that there was a difference, but made publicly, and when you looked at a man, you knew he was a man, and you recognized that, and there was no difference. There was no having to check twice. And you saw a lady, you knew that she was a lady. But it's not so today. It's not so today, and today there's no division in the lines there. And anybody that dares say anything about it instantly becomes the enemy. I can preach today. I can preach this very message, and I can look around, and I can watch the eyes of people, and I can see the look change on people's eyes. The harder I push, and just to see, just to check, and you say, "Why? Well, I wouldn't want to hurt anybody. I wouldn't want to offend anybody. I wouldn't want to hurt anybody either. I wouldn't want to offend anybody either." But listen, I wouldn't want to stand idly by and just let Satan destroy America. But listen, there's a real live enemy called communism. And the first goal, one of the first goals of communism in a nation like America is to destroy the morals of America, to create confusion in America, to tear the homes up of American people, and to break down and to get God out of the country. If you've checked lately, if you'll check, you'll find out that there is no God in the communist creed. The communist creed is pure atheism and anti-God and anti-Christianity and anti-church and anti-Bible. And if you'll check, that's exactly what's being taught in our country today. We're teaching our young people that they're just animals. They have no morals. They have no decency. They have no. There's no reason for our girls to have any decency. You're just an animal, friend. Listen, you girls, you're not just animals. You're a little girl, and God created you that way. Someday you're going to grow up and be a lady, maybe a mama, and maybe a wife, and whatever else. But that means something. That's a big deal. Amen. And you fellas, listen. Hey, God made you. He birthed you in this world a little boy. Amen. And He expects you to grow up and to be a boy for a little while and do boy things and grow up and be a man someday and get a job and work, amen, and take care of your family and love your wife and raise your children. That's what God intended. But friend, listen, communism is completely opposite, contrary to that. Communism teaches that you're an animal. Communism teaches that it's okay for government to come in and put a leash around your neck and tie you to a stake somewhere and lead you around like an old dog and just throw you a bone every once in a while. But friend, I want you to know that communism is right straight out of hell. I preached a whole sermon here on Sunday morning several months back on communism. And I said this, and I still say it tonight, our country's not headed toward communism. Our country has already embraced communism. If you'll check it out, it's just that communism hasn't embraced us yet. Amen? It hasn't enacted itself on us yet. Again, it's because of the merciful hand of God that it hasn't. The staying hand of God has kept it all. But our country has already embraced that wicked way. The only nation I know of that ever has willingly handed itself over to communism that I know of has been this country. But yet God, for some reason, still gives us the freedom that we have today. You won't hear this anywhere else. I know that. But I want you to know tonight this right here, the three activities that could avert the adversary's plan for America. I honestly love America. I've always loved my country. I love those that come to this country and embrace this country and want to be a part of this country. And I'm thankful for what America has stood for in the past. And I like the history of America. I like to read about Patrick Henry. I like to read about George Washington. I like to read Samuel Adams. One of my heroes, Sam Adams, was a very poor man. He couldn't afford one of those fancy wigs that they had to go to the Continental Congress. He couldn't afford one of those wigs, and he couldn't afford those fancy clothes. He was a poor man. Nobody knew that he was a poor man because he had a mighty strong, mighty rich pen. And from his little study, he would write, and he was the man that stirred up what they called the Boston Tea Party when this government said to England, said, "We're not going to accept your tax anymore. We're not going to be your puppets anymore." And they met him out there, and they threw the tea in the water and said, go on back where you come from. And the America began to declare its freedom and declare its independence. And much of that was stirred up by one man named Sam Adams, a poor man, sitting in his study somewhere, writing, and then stirring the people up. And today, our people need to be stirred up. Amen. God's people need to be stirred up. Christian people need to be stirred up. God-fearing people need to be stirred up. But listen, concerned, we oughtn't just sit idly by and just say, oh, well, brother, listen, I may be a lot of things, but one thing I'm not is a fatalist. I'm not going to just stand at the railroad tracks and wait on the train to hit me and say, there's the train. Here's the tracks. Come on, big boy. Let's go ahead and meet in the middle. Friend, listen, I'm not going to let you stay on the railroad tracks. Amen. I believe in the providence of God. But I like what David said when he had a little baby that was dying. And he prayed for 5 days on his face. And he prayed and that baby died. And they came to David and said, he's dead now. And David got up and cleaned himself and went to eat. And they said, well, David, we don't understand. For 5 days you haven't eaten. For 5 days you haven't bathed. And yet the baby's dead. And now you bathe. Now you eat. And he said to him, he said, I already knew what God had said was going to happen to the baby. He said, but who knows what God might be gracious. I'm glad we have a gracious God tonight. Amen. I'm glad for whatever reason God is willing to extend grace and mercy on undeserving hell-bound sinners. And I believe if he'll do it for us, I believe that God can extend a little mercy for this country we call America. I wouldn't want to preach if I didn't believe that there was some hope. There was some hope that God could stir up something and maybe send a little revival. I saw a sign today on the way up here that said revival / block party. That's not what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm not talking about a revival and a block party and a bunch of out of hell music. I'm talking about a revival of people getting right with God and having some decency again and raising their children right and trying to teach them the Word of God. I'm talking about revival of this book right here, where this right here becomes the most important thing in our lives and our homes, and where we stand not ashamed to stand up at work and say, hey, I believe God. I love the Word of God. I'm a child of God. I'm not ashamed, friend. Listen, and when we look to the government and say, hey, listen, you may say I can't pray, but I'm going to pray anyway. You may say I can't preach, but I'm going to preach anyway, because my God is bigger than the ACLU and all the rest of that crowd. Amen. There ought to be some boldness among God's people. There ought to be a little bit of a chutzpah among God's people where we're not just go ahead and stand and just take everything that rams up against us and just bend over and accept everything. We ought to stand up. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Amen. I believe we ought to stand up for Jesus and lift up the royal banner and preach the word. There's three activities that I want to give you tonight. Number one is praying. Number one is praying. Highly underrated with us, but not with the devil. The hardest thing I do is consistently pray and talk to God. The most confusing thing I hear taught and preached is prayer. I've heard preachers preach on prayer and going away and not ever feel like praying again. I've heard him preach on prayer, and I go away and wonder if I even know what prayer is. I'm not trying to confuse you about prayer tonight, but prayer is asking. Prayer is going to God, whether it's at work, or whether it's standing at your kitchen sink, whether it's laying in your bed before you go to sleep at night, or when you get up in the morning, or whatever it is, when you're driving down the road. Prayer is you and I talking to God and speaking to God and voicing our hearts to God. It's the sincere, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. It's you and I talking to God about what's going on in our country. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That word acknowledge means talk to him. It means open up your mouth and speak to him. But listen, it's easy today to pick up the phone, call somebody, send them a text. Communication abounds. It's so easy to communicate, and that's all God wants us to do. He wants us to communicate to him. He wants us to ask. He wants us to ask, friend. Listen, I said a moment ago about this fatalistic idea and thinking there's no use praying, there's no use asking. But that's of the devil, friend. The Bible says, he said, you have not because you ask not. This Bible is replete with promises about prayer and God urging us to pray and God begging us to pray. He said, call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great mighty things thou knowest not. Well, listen, you think about it. The very God of heaven that created the heaven and the earth, that makes the sun rise in the east and set in the west, that same God begs me to pray so that he can act on the behalf of the subject over which I'm praying. And it makes sense to me. And listen, that doesn't make any sense at all to me, but God wants you and I to pray so that he can act. You explain that to me, amen? But that's God's way. God wants us to ask. That's all praying is asking. Asking. What would be the danger of you and I just beginning to ask God for revival? But I know too many Christians running around saying, oh, there's no hope for revival. There's no hope. May as well just give up. There's no hope. I'd hate to go to heaven and stand and have and if this was the case and get there and find out that, man, we could have had revival. We could have seen a little moral change in our country. We could have seen a little different in our country, but yet we would not ask because we just didn't think God was going to answer. Give God a chance, amen.
Amen.
Listen, hey, I'm preaching to myself tonight, and I get frustrated sometimes. And I think, God, what can I do? God, it doesn't look like it's getting any better. I can't listen to the news anymore. Friend, listen, it makes me angry. Brother Ray, we've talked about it. I mean, listen, the news irritates. I do good to read it, and I still can't hardly finish the stories, but to listen to it, friend, blows my mind. I can't stand to have it on. I get irritated listening to it. It stirs something up on the inside, and I try to be a pleasant person. I try to be a decent person, but I can't stand to listen to that liberal, wicked stuff. Brother, listen, I can't handle it. My mind don't accept it. And I think, what can I do? The only thing, the first thing really, the greatest thing that any of us could do is pray. Pray. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Verse 15 says, now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Verse 16 says, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name shall be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Let me tell you something here about that. Listen, he wasn't talking, in the Old Testament, they were talking about a place, a tabernacle. But I want you to know, you'll find out in the New Testament, but why know you're not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Friend, listen, when you got saved, God came to dwell inside of you. And it's not a place where you go to pray. It's the fact that from you, listen, God hears your prayers. God hears my prayers because God dwells in us. Amen.
Amen.
He wants our temples. He wants us to be people of prayer. He wants us to call unto him. He wants to hear our prayers. Listen, God looks down at our country and he sees all that's going on and what God's looking for. He knows all the wickedness. He sees all the vile, perverted things that are going on. But God looks down to see if we help, we'll take time to pray. These fellas right here on the front row are studying. They're going to school and they're studying to do something with their life. And it would be a wonderful thing if they had a country to operate in and to function in a few years. But at the rate we're going, that they're not having anything to function in. So what do I say to them? I'll just forget it. Don't worry about getting your education. Just go out and have a good time for listen. Hey, but here's what the devil, if you guys aren't careful, they're going to try to pervert your mind and warp your mind and get you away from this Bible right here. They'll try to get you away from God. They'll try to get you away from the church, friend. Listen, but there'll be no nation, there'll be no country if we don't have some young people that determine to stay with God and stay with the Word of God, not be pulled away by the intellect mind of the world. We need prayer. Now listen, for years we preached in the nursing home. After a while, you run out of things to preach about in the nursing home. Amen? Thankfully, they forget what you preached about in the nursing home, so you can preach the same things. It's kind of that way here sometimes. Amen?
Right, Brother Jeff?
Yeah.
He's been all day trying to remember something he was going to tell me. That's why he said a moment ago it hit him. He came through it. I'm going to preach till he forgets it because it's probably bad news. I don't want to hear it. But listen. But I'm teasing. But listen, understand this tonight about prayer. God wants you to pray. He wants us to come to him and pray. And the Bible says in James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what the Bible says. But brother, you go to the average church today and the preacher will preach on everything in the world but prayer. And that's what we need in our churches, is more of God's people that are willing to pray. I know where I was at. I forgot I was at the nursing home. Amen. Forgot where I was at there for a minute. But I would say to the folks there, I would say, you may think there's nothing you can do. And you may think that your life is spent. And many of you, nobody even comes to see you. But if you're saved, I'm going to tell you one thing you can do. One thing I selfishly ask you to do. Pray for me. I'd love to have you pray for me. While you sit in your rooms and maybe you're nothing to do, and if you think of me or my family, pray for us. Then I would say to him, you know what? You can pray for this country. God hears your prayers. Boys and girls right down here, God hears your prayers.
Amen.
Listen, I don't say this to be silly, but I had a dog, and he was a Siberian Husky. I had three dogs in the litter. Two of them died with a disease called parvo. There's no cure for that disease except a lot of money. And then even that is not guaranteed. But I had these three dogs, and I had this one little silver and white one that was there. And he was a little Siberian Husky. And I was getting ready to bury one, and the other one started to get sick. He had the very same thing going on with the other one, doing the same stuff. And I took that little dog, and I pulled him over to me. Now, it's just a little dog. But yet, God wanted to teach me a lesson, so I'm going to tell you about what it was tonight. I was sitting in the bathroom at my mom and dad's house, and I prayed and said, God, this is just a little dog. And I was young, smart enough then, though, it was just a dog. But I prayed and said, God, would you fix this dog and don't let him die? You know, that dog lived to be about 12 years old. I went and buried the other one, and I came back, and my little dog that was sick was well, never had another symptom. And that's a contagious disease. There's no cure for it except the fact that God answered my prayer and God healed that little dog. Now, I know that may seem simple to some of you, but God wanted to show me there then and there that He's a God that answers prayer. And listen, as so many things God wants us to pray about, but yet we don't pray. In our country today, if there's anything America needs today, you can join this political party and go march with this group and join that group and all that, and you can spend your life on all that kind of stuff, but the greatest thing in the world you and I can do is pray. Pray. Young people, pray for your mom and your dad. Yeah, listen, church, pray for your children. Pray for your community. Pray for your church. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. America needs prayer. James chapter 5, verse 17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Amen. Hey, God's a prayer-answering God. Amen. God can answer prayer. God's no respecter of persons. Number two is this, preparing another generation. I want to hurry real quick, but this is real important. And I think about our church here, and I think about our Sunday school. Listen, girls and boys, listen. I remember we had this little storefront building church up there, and it was nice and cozy. Amen. And people would come in, and boy, the people that used to go there, they say, boy, we sure do miss the storefront building. Don't you miss the storefront building? Don't you miss that nice little church we had up there? And I say, yeah, I miss it a little bit until I think about those Sunday school classes at our church down on the hill. And I think about those little boys and girls that couldn't have gone up there, but now they have a church to come to. And I think about the classes, and I think about them learning the Word of God. I don't miss that place all that much. We tried to build Sunday school rooms up there. This little paper, you could hear everything, and we couldn't have Sunday school in there, but I'm glad we got a Sunday school here. Amen. I thank God for every Sunday school teacher we have. And I thank God for every Sunday school lesson. Boys and girls, if you happen to come to Sunday school here, you be sure to listen to your teacher and pay attention to what's being said. And teachers, I want you to know, maybe I haven't prayed for you as much as I should, but I'm going to work harder and pray more, because I believe that one of the greatest needs in America is to prepare another generation of young people. Prepare another generation of Christians and teach them the Word of God. Amen. They're being taught today that we got to have new songs to have church. But I'm glad for these little girls stood up here this morning, and they said, what are we going to sing? One of them said, let's sing Jesus Loves Me. And I said, amen, amen. Then they said, what are we going to sing next? And one of them, I said, how about Amazing Grace? They said, okay. And they sang the first verse of Amazing Grace just like they knew it. And they did know it, because they come to a church that's willing to teach the boys and girls that Amazing Grace ain't old-fashioned. It ain't old-fogey. We don't have to have some new music. We can still sing the old songs they were singing 400 years ago. Amen. And brother, there's nothing wrong with that. And don't believe that lie that you we've got to change what worked then would work now if we would just let it work. Amen. It's a tactic of the devil to change the rules in mid-game and to change the plan and try to twist things around. But there's nothing in this world the devil hates anymore, I believe, than to see a church with a strong Sunday school that preaches the Word of God and teaches the Word of God to boys and girls, and for a teacher to study and prepare. You teachers know how hard it is sometimes to find time to study, how aggravating it is and stressful it is to try to teach that class and deal with those kids and put up with them. But friend, listen, that's one of the great things that God has provided for us in church. One of the great necessities is to prepare young people and prepare God's people, young Christians. Young Christians need to come to Sunday school, amen. And all old Christians need to come to Sunday school and need to hear the teaching of the Word of God to get the 1-2 punch of the teaching and preaching and be strengthened and helped by what they hear. You can't get too much of the Word of God, amen. Don't tell me that you can overdose on the Word of God. You can't overdose on the Word of God. Get to church and hear the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Why? Because that's preparation. The Bible says in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What did Jesus say? He said, go teach all people about me. He said, baptize them, immerse them in my name, in my ways, in my truths. He said, fill their mind with my word. Amen. That's what we need today. You don't think for one minute that the old devil and his communistic crowd would like to do away with Sunday school? Don't you think for one minute the devil and his crowd would like to convince churches that boys and girls don't need to come to Sunday school, and they don't need to hear the Word of God, friend, listen, and that you don't need to come to Sunday school, it's not important, and listen, and that you don't need to bother teaching a Sunday school class, friend, listen, we need not less Sunday school classes here at our church, we need more Sunday school classes, and faithful teachers that'll stand up and teach the Word of God and be faithful to the Word of God. We need to not shrink our classes, but grow our classes. Why? Because it's a great thing that we can do to change the course of our country. These boys and girls come to church, hear me preach, they may have a little bit of a hard time understanding, what are you saying? Now I'll try. Amen? That's my next point, because whether they understand it or not, they need to see some preaching every once in a while. Amen? Some kids one day, they were left church, and we had a tape in there of a preacher. This wild, crazy preacher, Tony Hudson. He's preaching on everything. Them girls got in the van and said, whoa! Said, that's what the pastor just preached about. Where did he hear that from, him? Well, we got it from the same book, amen? Listen. Psalm 48:12 says, walk about Zion. Listen to this. Walk about Zion and go round about her, tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God, even forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. What am I talking about? I'm talking about teaching. It's an activity that is of great necessity. Discipleship. It's an activity that's of great necessity. Listen, young Christians and young people and young Christians in faith, they need to know that somebody ahead of them has been where they are, and they're willing to pray for them and be a friend to them and help them and not give up on them and not throw the towel in on them and just say, forget about you. Go on to the devil. Go on to the world. No, we need more of them to come to this side, amen, and join the cause of Jesus Christ. There's going to have to be some teaching and some discipleship and some care given. Amen? That's why I said, you have a problem, you have a question about what I'm preaching, call Brother Tommy. He'll tell you. Amen? We need Sunday school. And number three, an activity that we need is preaching. Amen? It's 8:03, and I want to talk to you just one real quick about preaching. Isaiah 58:1 says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, And show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Titus 2:15 says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I'm telling you, we've almost got to the place today where folks have no idea what preaching really is. Amen. You can listen. I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody, but this gum smacking sissy type of stuff that you hear nowadays when a preacher wants to get up and rap with the people and share a word with them, and he won't lift up his voice and he never perspires any friend. Listen, hey, the preacher ought to not be ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed of preaching. Amen. You can tell me what you want to think, but I believe that when the old-time preachers preached, friend, listen, hey, every once in a while they came up for wind, and America was better off when there was a bunch of old-fashioned preachers that stood up, amen, and it was like a helicopter taking off in a cornfield. They just and they took off, man, and they preached and ripped and hollered, and they didn't care what they said. They weren't worried about being politically correct or not. They weren't worried about whether or not they lost their 401c3 status or not. They weren't worried about hurting people's feelings. They weren't worried about offending people. They weren't worried about getting on the wrong issue or if somebody in the church had a loved one that was involved in that particular sin or not. They just stood up and preached the word of God and let her rip. Amen. It would be a good thing in America if our churches would get over being ashamed of old-fashioned preaching. We're ashamed if the preacher preaches, we get nervous. I mean, it makes us nervous. We want him to be eloquent. We want him to stand in the pulpit and put a leash and be careful and just say, no, don't say the wrong thing. If I bring a visitor, I don't want you to hurt their feelings. Friend, listen, I'll never say anything to hurt anybody. The one I want to hurt is the devil, but I will say whatever God tells me to say because I want to help God's people. I know our country's headed the wrong direction. Friend, listen, sodomy is of the devil. Abortion is murder. Homosexuality, if you don't know what sodomy is, they're the same thing. Amen. Brother, listen, hey, all of that type of stuff, it's wrong. Listen, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He rained fire down on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sin of sodomy. Men with men and women with women. Friend, God is against that kind of stuff. The immorality of our day. And God talked about modesty and decency and clothing ourselves. And today our society wants to see how much clothes they can take off. We're teaching our girls that it's okay to run around like that and be indecent and crude. And there was a generation before that had some honor and integrity about them, but that's almost all gone today. I'm going to tell you why it's gone. Those preachers have gotten intimidated in their pulpits. And they're afraid to preach. I don't know why. Maybe they're worried about this. You check your Bible out now, you're going to find a hard time about Ezekiel ever worrying about this. Ezekiel never worried about hurting the offerings when he preached. Isaiah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist. Or should I tell you about John the Baptist? He had his head cut off. He said, well, what did he do? He went to the king, who had taken his brother's wife to be his wife, just took her. He went to the king, looked at the king, and he said, it's not lawful for you to have her. What happened? He got his head cut off for her. Well, that's not very popular. Amen? The man that, and I'm not going to advertise his name and sell any of his books. I'm not going to voice his name. I don't even want to think about his name. But pastor is probably what they say, the largest church in America. They ask him about sin. He said, I don't really like to preach on sin. He said, I'm not the judge. He said, God's the judge. He said, it's not really my place to tell people what sin is and what sin's not. He said, let them figure that out. He said, I'm not going to judge people. I'm not a Catholic, but the Pope, which by the way is a chameleon, he's a Jesuit priest, he's a chameleon, he'll say anything he needs to say to draw people into Catholicism. That's the Jesuit creed. By the way, it's a creed of Islam also, that you can become anything else in order to draw people into Islam. We have a couple of those instances today going on. But this priest come out and said, he said, I'm not the judge. He said, I can't judge him. And you know what? I say amen to both of them. You're not the judge, but the Word of God is the judge. And God said Paul, to Timothy through Paul, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come, and they will not endure, but they shall heap to themselves teachers. After their own lusts, heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away. And that's where we are today. Fairy tales. Fables. The average Christian cannot handle preaching. I pray that we're not average Christians here. I pray that we have a hunger and a thirst for preaching. I pray that we'll, every one of us, no matter what our schedule is, I pray that tonight we'll consider the great ally that we have in prayer. I'm not going to tell you where to pray, how to pray. I'm not going to tell you to pray on your knees or pray standing upside down or pray floating, riding on a billy goat. You just pray. My Bible says pray without ceasing. Amen?
Amen.
You can figure that out any way you want to. But I'm telling you tonight, let's get back to prayer. Amen. Let's pray and let's believe in and let's support the Sunday school. Amen? Amen? And let's not be intimidated and let's not be ashamed of old-fashioned Bible preaching. Amen? I tell you what, God uses preaching. Matter of fact, God said He had chosen the foolishness preaching. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm going to close right now. Lord, just shut it down right here where we are. Because, Lord, I know, dear Lord God, that you're able to use the truth so far, dear Lord. There's three activities that we need to apply ourselves to, and that's prayer. That's preparing another generation, Lord. In our Sunday school classes, our teachers need boldness. And God, we need to just fill up our Sunday school classes, dear Lord God, and get our kids in there and get them fired up and excited, dear Lord God, and capture their hearts and minds for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our adults need to be stirred up, dear Lord God, and we need to get excited about the Word of God. Not to be bored by the Word of God, but be excited by it. Dear Lord God, to look forward to it, dear Lord God, to anxiously await the Sunday school hour once again. And then, God, let us have the right attitude about preaching. Dear Lord God, realize that preaching changes our lives and helps us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me? Sister Echo, pray, please. I'm going to ask you tonight to do one thing. I want you to find some place in this church to pray. Let's pray tonight for God to work. Let's ask ourselves this question: have I applied myself to the preparation of another generation? What am I doing? How am I? What can I do to prepare another generation? And me myself be more prepared. And then I want to ask you to pray that this church would always be a church where the preaching of the Word of God is preeminent. And the preaching would be with power and with this manifestation of the Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, bless the invitation tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to come, you come. Pray with me.